Pastor Varun and Pastor Don Mahaprasit would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
You don't feel God, you feel that the anointing is not there. How many people feel that way sometimes? Like, wow, where is the anointing? Right now I feel so dry, it's like in the desert. Sometimes God pull back to show us that without Him, we cannot do anything much. And He will come at the right time to help us when we begin to witness, when we begin to teach, when we begin to minister, the anointing will come at the right time to help us, to let us know that we cannot do anything without the anointing of God. Amen. I'm one of them that if without the anointing, it will be very hard for me to minister. I come to the point of my life that it's almost like don't know what to say, don't know what to do without the anointing of God. And the Holy Spirit will help us. The Lord Jesus Christ was walking on earth ministering to the lost, to the hurting, to the sick under the anointing without measure. He has the Spirit without measure. Therefore, we all should seek to not only be holy, but we should seek to have the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And that's why we come to the church camp like this, to plug in, to press in, and to keep drinking. Have another drink, to feel more and more, so that we can just learn how to flow in the anointing and have more of the anointing or the unction of God. Amen. How many people want more anointing? I'm one of them. Amen. Praise God. How many people have been blessed by the Word of God? Amen. So, if God has done something good to you, you should come up and glorify God. You remember that one of the lepers, there were many lepers that Jesus healed in His time. But there was only one that came back to give thanks to Jesus. The rest just disappear. So the same thing, when we have been blessed by God, God did something good in our life, we should come back and give thanks to God. Give testimony. Give glory to God. Amen. We should not keep in our heart, but should tell people, declare. King Hezekiah said that, I shall live and will not die, to declare the work of the Lord. So we all need to learn how to declare the work of the Lord that has done in our life and in our church. And we can continue to live and declare the work of the Lord. Amen. Don't keep your mouth shut. Tell people the goodness of God. And so that you can tell people, come and test the goodness of God. Amen. Hallelujah. So you have been blessed so far. Amen. Even I myself, when I read this sermon on teaching, it convicts me every time. It changed me when I read the Word of God. Do you know that the person that gets changed the most, if you are sincere with the Word, is the preacher himself? Do you know that the person who grows the fastest is the teacher himself, if you are sincere, okay? You're not just teaching just to get the position or to get some kind of recognition. But you teach the Word with conviction, you grow fast. Therefore, I would like to encourage all of you to be the people of the Word of God. Don't just think this way. The preaching and teaching is a job of the pastor. No, every Christian should know the Word of God, should soak into the Word of God, should listen to the Word of God all the time, should really be well trained in the truth, so that you can teach in your care group, you can teach when you meet a new believers, and you can explain the Word of God. And the more you share, the more you teach, the more you explain, it will really come back to you, and you will need to change, because you cannot teach without practicing what you teach. So that's why our church allows people to teach. We have care groups. We take turn to teach. We encourage people to get into the Word of God and really partake the Word of God seriously. Amen. I give you example. One of the ladies in this room, she is, I don't know how old she is. She, I think more than 55 years old. She came from Thailand. And she was sitting there. She said that she listened to the CD all day long in her house. When she went out to walk, she put and listened to the CD. And she never went to Bible school. She never have any special training. But when she come up and share, it's amazing. She really know the Word of God. And she can share according to the Word of God exactly. And it was so, wow. This lady is amazing. How can she know all the Word of God? But because she told me that all day long in her house, the CD just keep turning on and she listened and keep partaking the Word of God. And it just soak in. Amen. Did you know that the 12 disciples did not go to the Bible school, the formal Bible school? The disciples just sat at the feet of Jesus, listened to the Lord Jesus say all day long. And after 3 years, they start to know the Word of God more and more. And not only that, they read the Bible, they study the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit come and bring the illumination and understanding of the Word of God. Therefore, it's about your hunger. It's about your responsibility, your decision to partake the Word of God on a regular basis, on a daily basis, and let the Holy Spirit reveal the truth to you. Amen. The Holy Spirit is a great teacher. He can teach you. So I just want to exhort you today to be the people of the Word of God. Love the Word of God. You may say, Pastor, I know already what you teach in this camp. I know about faith. I know about humility. But you know, every time you listen the same subject, it go deeper. Something God put in deeper and deeper to understand, and God can speak to you in a new level. In fact, while you're sitting here, I may be speaking one thing, but the Holy Spirit there with you can speak to you another thing in the same line, but even deeper than what I'm talking, because He is your personal teacher. So we need to be open to the Holy Spirit when we hear the Word of God. Let the teacher of our soul, the Holy Spirit, teach us to reveal the truth to us. Amen. The Word of God is like a treasure. The more you know, the more you can live a victorious life. You can be a victor, not a victim. The Bible says in the book of Hosea, chapter 4, verse 6, the Bible says, my people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. God's people are destroyed because they don't know the Word of God. So we all need to know our rights, the promises of God, the principle of God, so that we can have victory on earth here. The promised land is here on earth, not in heaven. Because in the promised land, you have to face giants. And giants are here. When you go to heaven, no giants anymore. No demons, no devils anymore. So here you can live in a promised land on earth here. Amen. Some people sitting in this room is still walking around the mountain in the wilderness. But in the same church, sitting next close to you, they have already been in the promised land, in the same building. The promised land is in you here. It's not about the land outside. In you. You have victory already in you because you know the Word and you're so filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. I just want to exhort you today before I teach. I know I cannot teach very long. So I just want to exhort you first. Let's read this scripture one more time in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 30. 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 30. Far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We ask you, Lord, that you will reveal the truth from heaven to all of us, Open our eyes to see the truth. Open our heart to be receptive. And open our ear to hear what the Spirit of God wants to say. Lord, we don't want to have a habit of selective hearing. We want to hear every single thing, every single word that the Holy Spirit wants to speak to the church. Father, today we surrender. We want to give you all the glory and honor. Help us, Lord, anoint us to understand the message. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. I would like to talk about the 7 characteristics of those who have honorable life. Those who live a life to honor God. The 7 characteristics is faith. Everyone say faith. In order to honor God, we need to be people of faith. And faith is something that we can grow. Look at Abraham's life. If you study the life of Abraham in detail, you can see that even though the Bible calls him the father of faith, but he started with very low faith. Do you remember when he first started, he lied to the king that his wife was his sister? Then when his wife told him that to take Hagar to be another woman in his life, he listened to Hagar. He was a man of little faith at the beginning, but as time goes on, he built his faith up to become a man of faith, a father of faith. So we all should shoot for having big faith. When Jesus looks at you, he will talk to you, he will talk about you like he was talking about the centurion. A centurion appeared to him and said that, "My servant is in trouble. You don't need to go to my house. You just speak right now. She will be healed. Or he will be healed." And what happened? Jesus said, "You are such a man of great faith. You know about authority. You know about the power of God. I want God to speak to this church. You guys are people of great faith." Amen. Faith is so valuable. It's more valuable than the jewelry on your earring right now. More than the diamond on your ring here. It's more valuable than dollars. More than gold. More than the stock market. Faith is so valuable. The Bible says we fight the good fight of faith. The Bible says we overcome the world by faith. If you have faith, you can have overcoming life. It's something that we should all seek. We should all want to have more. We should all press in and press on and press through so that we can have more faith. I pray to God every day, give me more faith. I want to be a man of faith. I want to shake the kingdom of darkness by faith. I want to see people set free. I want to see people get healed. I want to see people get saved. I want to see victory in my family, in the church. And we can get all those things by faith. The book of 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 7. "These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine, may result in praise, glory, and honor." Everyone say honor. "When Jesus Christ is revealed." Which one is more worth? Gold or faith? Which one? Gold or faith? Which one is more worth? Dollars and faith? Faith. Which one can perish? Faith or gold? Gold cannot go with you everywhere. Gold can perish. Gold can be stolen. Disappear. The value of the gold can go down and go up. The value of dollars right now going down, I don't like it. Because I'm going to Thailand in a week or two. But now the dollar go down. So I don't like it because the exchange rate is not good for us to go to Thailand. But faith is always worth. And you can carry faith anywhere. You may not have credit card with you. You may not have dollars with you in your wallet or your purse. But faith can go with you everywhere. And faith will go with you to heaven. You know that when you stand before the throne of Jesus Christ that day, you will not only stand in front of Him yourself. You can stand in front of His judgment seat of Christ, the throne of God, with another person called faith. Faith cannot be with you that day when you were standing before the judgment seat of Christ. Look at what Jesus said in Luke chapter 18 verse 8. I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will He really find faith on the earth? When Jesus comes back, He's not looking for nice dress, nice tie. He's not looking for people with big houses, nice cars. He's not looking for a person with the title pastors, elders, deacons, worship leaders, evangelists, apostles. He said, I'm coming to look for people that have faith in me. Faith is so important. That is the first thing he's looking for when he comes back. He said, where is people with faith? You remember when you read the four gospels, Jesus dealt with the disciple all the time about faith. You are of little faith. How much longer I need to be with you to teach you about faith? As I recall, 9 people, individual people, come to Jesus for a personal healing. And out of 9, only 1 that was healed by the faith of Jesus. But the rest 8, Jesus said, because of thy faith, because of your faith, you are made whole. Many times we blame on pastor lay hand, oh, I don't get healed because I don't have, he's not anointed. Or maybe you blame God, I'm not healed, God doesn't heal me. But in fact, the first thing you need to do is to build your own faith. Amen? Because you get healed, you get the result by your own faith. And if you are people of faith, the Bible says that it will result in praise, glory, and honor. With faith in your life, you will be the people of honor. God will honor you. How many people want to have more faith now? Amen. We need to have more faith. We produced a CD about faith. And I hope that you can go back and listen to that CD series again. Listen again and again and again. To produce faith, I have not even finished the series yet. We just make only one series, one box. But we still have a lot to teach about faith. How many people know how to get more faith? How to get more faith? How many people know? How? Hearing the word of God. In order to have more faith, you need to keep hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. Thank God for the technology. Thank God for the podcast. Thank God for the CD. Thank God for the iPod. Thank God for the MP3. You can go anywhere and listen to the word of God anywhere all the time. Amen. You can listen and listen. The more you listen, the more faith you have. I recall many years ago, I was so mad at sickness. So I began to buy all the tapes in America about healing. I still have those in my house. Bunch of them, like boxes. Tapes about healing. And I listen. I listen. I press in. I listen about faith, about healing. I want to build my faith in healing. I never claim that I'm a healer like Benny Hinn. But God said you can see healing when you have faith. Even though you are not a healer. Even though you don't have a gift of healing. You still can see healing if you have faith. Amen. Faith is applied to everything in your life. Your finances, your ministry, everything. What else that can build your faith? Besides hearing the word of God. You should know the answer. Huh? How can you have more faith? Who is the owner of faith? The Bible says the faith of God. In fact, that faith does not originate from you. That faith comes from God. And who impart that faith to you? The Holy Spirit. That's right. If you want to have more faith, you need to be filled and more of the Holy Spirit. The Bible talks about the measure, the level of the anointing of the Holy Spirit on each person. Elisha have double portion of the Holy Spirit. So, in other words, even the Holy Spirit is one person like that. He is a person. But when he comes to you, he comes and gives you different measure of faith and different measure of anointing and power. So it's our job is to press in and get hungry to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to walk in the Spirit all the time so that we can have a high measure of faith, because faith comes by the Holy Spirit. Two things, hearing the word. What else? Filled with the Holy Spirit. I read the book one time from Yong Ki Cho. A lady came to him with, I don't remember what kind of cancer. Some kind of, I think liver cancer or something. This lady will not last that long. She's going to die. And she came into Dr. Yong Ki Cho's office and said, "Pastor, could you pray for me that I will be healed?" The pastor said, "I'm not going to pray for you. You go to the prayer mountain and you go up there and say like this many thousand times in that prayer closet." He said, "You go up to the prayer closet and speak like this, 'By his stripe, I'm healed.' And say it out loud, 'By his stripe, I'm healed. By his stripe, I'm healed.' By..." So as he keeps saying that, she heard herself. She keep hearing and hearing and hearing. And eventually, she got healed. The cancer went away. But she kept saying it for thousands and thousands of times until she got it, that she can be healed by the stripe of Jesus Christ. I read another testimony in the magazine of Kenneth Hagin Ministry. This lady was afflicted by multiple sclerosis. The nervous system have scar and then became paralyzed and could not move, cannot see, become blind. So she was lying in the bed. She was only maybe 28 years old, dying. And her friend from the church brought her a cassette tape player and keep praying the sermon. Keep rewinding the, go on and on, the sermon on faith and healing. And she just lie there and listen and listen and listen. And one day, I don't know how long, but she keep listen all day long. Keep listen and listen. One day the faith just hit her. She jump out of the bed and become healed at that moment. And in that magazine, it show her picture in the running suit with the tennis shoe and run like this and smile. And she say, "I am healed already by faith." Amen. Amen. The problem is that we don't listen to the word of God enough. The problem is that we spend time reading newspaper and watching and doing other things, but we don't get into the word enough. That's why we don't have enough faith. Amen. I produce a CD series in Thai called "God's Word is the Medicine for You." And I heard so many testimonies from Thailand that people listen to that CD series all day long. And they got healed from many lung diseases and a lot of stuff, not because of me, but because they built their own faith by listening all day long in their car, in their house. They just keep listening until one day the faith is rising up and they got healed at that moment. Faith is important. When you read the Bible, mix faith with every single word in the Bible. Amen. I give you example. This morning I read in the prayer meeting this scripture. Give you example. I'm talking about faith. The Bible say, "Love suffer long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, think no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity or sin, but rejoices in the truth, bear all things, believe all things, hope all things, endure all things." When we talk about bear all things, I give you example. You come into the church, you see some brother and sister, very naughty, very bad habit, talk bad, you feel like, "Oh, I don't want to be around this person. I want to run away, kick him out of the church right now." But the Bible says, bear all things. What does it mean, bear? Just be patient. Just love. And hope. And when you read that scripture, you mix with faith that God, that person in the church, very painful. It's like an acid. Every time you come close to that person, it's like an acid pull on you like, eh! But you say, I'm going to have faith. Pray for that person will be changed. You exercise faith for that brother or sister. Don't just cut them off right away. Give them the chance to change. Amen. We're talking about faith here. Faith for your kids. When the doctor told Paul that Paul, no, the doctor told me, not told Paul. The doctor told me in Pastor Da, Paul will never read anything. He will be totally handicapped because of the autism. And he will never communicate with anybody. He will never have any relationship with anybody. He's going to sit on the corner and play with himself. I build my faith right away. By the stripe of Jesus Christ, he is healed. I'm the Father. I can exercise authority to command sickness to go away. The righteous, the children of the righteous will inherit the land. God will bless me 1,000 generations. My kids will do well. I don't care what I see right now. I'm going to exercise my faith for my child. In the name of Jesus. Faith. In everything in your life. Amen. I just give you example. So you can see that faith is not just about laying hand on to somebody. But it's about everything in your life. Pray for your children. Pray for your husband. By faith. How many people are going to listen to the sermon more from now on? Get into the Word of God more. Thank God for the free CD, but don't take it for granted. Listen. You don't need to listen to only my CD. You can listen to other preacher in America. That's okay. Or in Thailand, whatever. If they preach well, they preach faith. There are two kinds of preacher. Preaching faith or preaching work. I rather preach faith, not work. Amen. Everyone say, I will be a man and a woman of great faith. Amen. Look at next one. Dignity. Dignity. Look at 1 Timothy. If you want to be honorable people, you need to understand dignity. I'm not talking about pride. I'm not talking about arrogance. I'm not talking about self-righteousness. I'm not talking about showing off. Who am I? Look at me. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about this. 1 Timothy, I'm going to read from Amplified Bible. Chapter 3, verses 2 to 4. Now, a bishop or overseer must have no grounds for accusation. So if anyone wants to be a leader in the church, you need to live a life of being blameless. So that people can find no ground to blame you. Financially, family life, how you spend money, how you talk, everything. If you want the privilege of being a leader in the church, there is also a responsibility to shape up your life. Amen. But must be above reproach. The husband of one wife, circumspect and temperate and self-control. He must be sensible and well-behaved and dignified and lead an orderly, disciplined life. He must be hospitable, showing love for and being a friend to the believers, especially strangers or foreigners, and be a capable and qualified teacher. Not given to wine, not combative, but gentle and considerate. Not quarrelsome, but forbearing and peaceable. Not a lover of money, and go on and everyone say dignified. In Titus chapter 2 verse 7, talking about the character of deacon, and show your own self in all respect to be a pattern and a model of good deeds and works, teaching what is unadulterated, showing gravity, having the strictest regard for truth and purity of motive, with dignity and seriousness. What does it mean when the Bible talks about dignifying dignity as leader in the church? If you want to be an honorable vessel in the eyes of God, what the Bible talks about dignifying or dignity, it means to behave properly. To be proper in everything. How you dress, how you talk, how you respond to people, how you react to the situation or respond to the situation. You need to be proper. Amen. Give glory to God. Amen. If you notice, I don't come into this room without shirt and pant. That will be improper. Do you notice that I don't come in here with my hair just sticking everywhere? I need to comb my hair to be dignified, to have dignity, to be proper, to be presentable. Not only that, what does it mean, dignity? It means that you value the anointing in your life and other people's life. Yesterday, when Sister Jane came up to teach the class, I didn't look at her as Jane, just a member in the church. When Pastor Sarah came up to teach the class on Tuesday, I did not look at her, just a young girl. It's good to be young, huh? Just a young girl. No, I did not look at them as a young girl. I look at them, I honor the anointing in their life. You need to honor the anointing in people's life around you. All the time. You need to honor the anointing in your own life too. Don't say, I am just a trash can. I am just, you know, just an appendix in the church. No, you have the anointing. God can use you. Value and see the importance of the anointing in your life. God can use every one of you. You are all anointed. You have different anointings. Amen. Look at each other that way. Don't look at each other like, oh, just a new member, just a kid, just this and that. No, we all have the anointing in our life and we need to honor that anointing. Look at how Paul talked about himself. Paul did not say, you know, friend, in the church at Corinth, I am just a jerk. Did he say that? I'm just a jerk. I'm just a dirt ball. Dirt ball is the American slang. Okay, you may not understand me, but that's okay. Romans chapter 11, verse 13, look at what Paul talked about himself. I am talking to you Gentiles, in as much as I am the apostle to the Gentiles, I make much of my ministry. He called himself, I am an apostle. I am called by God to be an apostle. He did not look down on himself. He valued the anointing in him. Amen. When I lay hand on people last night, I don't just walk around and say, oh, I'm just a guy from Thailand. I'm just a short guy, speak with accent. With black hair, no blue eyes. I'm just a doctor in town. Oh, I'm getting older. God cannot use me. No, I'm walking on behalf of Jesus. I lay a hand in the name of Jesus. I am anointed. When my hand lay on you, the fire of God gonna pass through my hand. I walk with dignity, not pride, but dignity because I value the anointing on the inside of me. Everyone say, I am anointed. I'm not a dirt ball. I'm not a jerk. Amen. When you cast out demon, you need to go to the demon that way. You don't come and say, a demon, I'm just a new believer in the church. I'm just, could you please go away, please? Please go away, please. No. Shut up. Go. You know you have anointing. Is that right? Amen. Everyone do like this with me. Smile. Amen. When I walk in the hospital, I don't walk like, I'm just an Asian doctor. No, I walk around. I'm a servant of God. I'm a preacher of the gospel. But not prideful. I'm not valuing myself. I'm valuing the anointing in me. Because as I say, without the anointing, I cannot do anything. We need the anointing. We need the grace of God. Amen. Realize the good things that God put into you. Look at what happened to Peter and John. Read Acts chapter 3 verses 4 to 7. Peter looked straight at him. This is at the gate of Beautiful. As did John. Then Peter said, look at Jesus. Did he say that? What did he say? Look at us. In other words, Peter and John tried to say this. We have something to offer to you. And not in the flesh. It's not the flesh. We have something. Look at us. We have something to offer to you. And that is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The power of the living God. The name of Jesus. The word of God. The fire of God. We have something to offer to you. Look at us. They didn't say, look at Jesus. Or look at God. God still used us as his hand. His eyes on earth here. Is that right? He used your feet to walk, to go to places, to preach the gospel. You are his vessel of honor. If you want to be a vessel of honor that the anointing flow to you, you need to value the anointing on the inside of you and know who you are in Christ. If you know who you are in Christ, you will never be the same. You are a son and a daughter of the living God. Your dad is the richest person in the world. He is sitting on the throne. He has given you a victory already by the cross. The victory has been done. He is anointing you. The Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead is living on the inside of you. He has given you the anointing. He has given you the victory. Amen. You are not just a jerk. You are a child of the living God. And you have authority in the name of Jesus. And you have the anointing inside you. Amen? It doesn't matter you are a housewife, how old are you. You know, it doesn't matter whether you are just a school teacher or you serve in certain restaurant. It doesn't matter because that is not important in the eyes of God. You are having the position of a child of God. Be dignified. Know yourself. Amen. Hallelujah. Everyone say, look at us. We have something to offer. We have the anointing. We have the power of God. We have the name of Jesus. And we have faith. We are something. We are not nothing. Amen. Last one. The quality of honorable people. The last one, be faithful. If you want to be honorable people, you need to be faithful. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 18. He who tends a fig tree will eat its fruit. And he who looks after his master will be honored. John chapter 12 verse 26. Whoever serves me, means Jesus, must follow me. And where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. In conclusion, these two scriptures. We are all the servant of God. And if we faithfully serve him, which also means serve the man that God anointed to put over you, your pastor, your leader. You cannot see Jesus, but you can see a human that God put in front of you. So when you serve the man of God in the church, you serve your leader in the church, you serve Jesus at the same time. If you are faithful in serving the master, mean the Lord Jesus or your leader, you are honorable people. I really honor Victor Lo. All these years, he served me without hidden agenda. He is always there for me. He is dependable. He is trustworthy. He is steadfast. Every meeting, he will be there for me. I can depend on him. I don't need to lose my sleep. I don't need to worry that next morning in the meeting, Victor Lo will be somewhere playing golf. He's going to be in the meeting. Faithfulness means dependable, responsible, constant, steadfast, and trustworthy. A servant of God who is dependable, who is there, God can depend on you. It's different between being a churchgoer and being a regular member from being a dependable servant in the house of God. Every Sunday, God can count on me that I will be there on time. Every week, God can count on you that you're going to be there to fulfill your responsibility. You are not disappearing. If you have to disappear because of sickness or emergency, you will call and let the pastor know. You are faithful. You shall be honored by the Father. Amen. Thank God in our churches, we have so many, many, many faithful servants. I can quote all the names in this room. All the names. We have more than, I believe we have more than 90% of members in New Hope International Church that are very faithful to serve the Lord. God can count on them. God can put thumb up to them. Faithful servant. They are there all the time. They will, every time they promise God to do something, they will be there to do it. And they do the best job. Look at the workshop here. All the workshop, the best job. Let's give hand to both Pastor Sarah and to Jane. The best job. Look at the worship team. Clap hand to the worship team. Excellent. I am blessed because in my church, I have a lot of faithful servants and they are honorable people. Amen. Look at Proverbs chapter 25 verse 19. Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a bad tooth and a foot without joint. Proverbs in NIV say, like a bad tooth and a lame foot. Is reliance on the unfaithful in times of trouble. Why God compare your faithfulness to tooth and leg? Why? Because if you want to eat steak. If you want to eat steak, what do you depend on to be able to enjoy that steak? Your teeth. If your teeth doesn't work, your teeth do not work, you cannot chew the steak. Then you cannot enjoy the eating. It will not work. The same thing when you get up to go to the lunch time here, to lunch table. What do you depend on? Your foot and your leg. So if your foot doesn't work, you cannot go. Is that right? So God tried to say in the Bible, in the book of Proverbs, that people who are faithful are dependable. They would get the job done. The master or the boss can sleep well and don't have to worry about anything because they can get the job done of chewing or walking. There will be a blessing to the body of Christ. The body of Christ can keep go on and on with blessing because dependable people are around in the church. Amen. In fact, I honor these people more than rich people around here. People who have big houses, I don't care. I honor all the faithful servants in the church more than people with, you know, big houses and millions of dollars. This is a good quality, faithfulness. Proverbs chapter 11 verse 13. A talebearer reveals secret, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. A faithful servant not only stable, dependable, but a faithful servant also conceal mean keep confidentiality, keep secret. For example, if somebody in the church come to tell you something about their secret, maybe they say that, you know, I really, my son is having trouble with drug right now. Can you really pray for us, pray for our family? But could you please don't tell anybody? Because this is, I don't want to be spread all over the church about the situation of my son. If you are a faithful person, you zip your mouth, pray, and don't tell anyone in the church. A faithful servant, conceal the matter. Don't bring the secret of this person to tell this person and to tell that person. And after only 24 hours, the whole church know about it. That is not good. Amen. If you promise somebody you're going to keep the secret, keep it. But you may ask this question when somebody tell you secret. Can I have permission from you? If it's very serious, can I have permission to tell our pastor? In case he can help. He may not do anything. He may not tell anything. He may just keep away because you don't ask him to help. But at least the leader should know. If the person say no, you should not tell the pastor either. Maybe it's very personal. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you learn something here? How many people want to be faithful? Let's say dependable, trustworthy, constant, steadfast, get the job done. I will be there. I keep my promise. I will conceal the matter. I will keep confidentiality. I keep the secret of people. I will not have a bad mouth. Amen. Hallelujah. How many people say, I want to honor the anointing in people's life? Raise your hand up. Now, turn to people around you and look at them and value them right now. See the anointing in them. Look at each other. Look in them. Oh, God. They're so anointed. They're so anointed. You see their value? They see the good thing in them? Amen. See the value of one another. I enjoy this lesson. It's very good. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for teaching us each day. We receive by faith. We humble to you and ask you to change us day by day to become honorable people. You are the most honorable person, and we want to honor you, Lord. We want to understand the honor of God. And Father, today, this afternoon, give us good rest. People who go to the workshop, Father, will learn. People who just fellowship out there will enjoy the good weather today. Thank you, Lord. And continue, Father, to increase our love in these churches and also increase the faith in these churches, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206 275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.